Hello out there. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight.
Welcome to Producer Ian's Hockey Night in Korea.
Kiss off my A. Yeah, thanks. Anyway, hello. Welcome to the Outside View. I'm Matt Burnett, and joining me is Ian Pearce.
It's the final pod.
Yeah, we finally got to hear Producer Ian speak for only a moment before he was told to piss off, which is why he doesn't speak on the other pods.
It was rubbish. I wasn't happy with his content.
Nah. I mean, he got to start off with Canadian singing, and then... Who wants to talk about hockey? Hockey?
What kind of audience are you going to get for hockey on ice? I mean, hockey, you're not getting anything for hockey.
I tell you
hockey
what.
Hockey on ice, come on.
Let's be fair, though. If you think that a Korean football podcast is a little bit obscure, could you imagine doing one in the hockey? It's only two teams.
Will not catch on.
Nah.
But let's try it.
Nah. The only ice I care about is vanilla ice, because I'm hip. Anyway, mate, let's move on and get the classified results with Mr... James Alexander Gordon.
The 2012 Hyundai Oil Bank K-League. Songnam 1, Jeju United 1. Seoul 2, Pohang 1. Inche United 3, Jeonbu 3. Gangwon 0, Sangju Sangmu 3. Busan I-Park 1, Gyeongnam 0. Daejeon Citizen 2, Suwon 1. Gwangju 2, Daegu 2. Ulsan 1, Jeonnam 0. The National League. Busan Gyeongtaek 2, Goyang Kukminbank 2, Anson Hallyu 0, Yongin City 1, Gimhae City 2, Mokpo City 3, Ulsan Mipo Dockyard 2, Changwon City 1, Incheon Korel 1, Suwon City 0, Daejeon Hydro Nuclear Power 1, Gangneung City 2, Cheonan City 1, Chungju 2.
News!
This is John Harrison from Gangwon. Thanks everyone for listening over the years, and best wishes for the future.
10-man Daejeon pulled off this season's biggest shock so far, as the last-minute Kevin Orris wonder strike saw of the Suwon Blue Wings. Elsewhere, Ulsan grabbed a late goal of their own to hop up to the top of the league table.
A smashing week for the Koreans in the Asian Champions League saw 3 wins and 1 draw, and all 4 K-League sides with their fates in their own hands before the final round of group fixtures.
And the draw for the third round of the FA Cup took place last Thursday, with 14 of the 16 K-League clubs handed home ties. But with league survival a priority this season, those banana skins could prove particularly slippy.
Boing! Banana skins, mate, they're bound, don't they?
They do, but not in the Champions League for the Korean sides.
No, mate, they're top bananas, aren't they?
Well, they are at the moment. I mean, Pohang, if we're going straight to Group E, we'll just have a quick run through.
You can't banana split Group B, can you, mate?
No, not yet. It is pretty tight. Pohang 1 point behind what? The Australians? Ridiculous.
Wait, you want to narrow that down, mate? There's plenty of teams there.
Eight
or nine?
And one of them's from New Zealand?
Oh, mate, hey. They're not a team. They're a rabble.
Sure.
They were sheep at fullback.
Adelaide top, and Pohang following just behind.
Oh, you said like Australians. Adelaide, I don't let out really Australians. So wait, Adelaide United at the top on 10 points.
That's right, Pohang second 9.
What about Bunyongkor? Where are they?
They're way down 7 points. So they're still in with a chance, but
wait,
Pohang...
what's happened to Gunvor Osaka, mate?
Well, this is a funny one. They've had a horrible start to the J-League season. Not a particularly good start to the Champions League. So bad that they're already out of the Champions League.
Yeah.
So, Pohang beat them 2-0 in what was, you know, a great win for the Steelers. Kim Jin-yong and Asamoah with one second half goal. That's off Gamba. That puts them out of the competition. And now Pohang will be absolutely secure through if they can beat Bunyadkor.
Yeah,
or
so
at least get a point.
So the last game, is it at home to Bunyadkor or away?
It's away and they just need a point.
Gee, that's a big game though, isn't it? Because Bunyadkor, you don't know what they're going to... got to do you really?
That's exactly right. Bunyadkor have been weird this season. They've beaten the good teams and then lost away to the bad team. They won in Pohang, if you remember. But I mean, we'll see.
That's going to be a great tie to watch.
Intriguing. Just as intriguing is Group F, where Ulsan and FC Tokyo sit level on 11 points, both now qualified very easily.
Yeah.
And they face off in the final game to decide who will be top of the group and get the all important home advantage in the next round.
Yeah, it's funny. We're talking about the rise of China in the other group, weren't we, against Jeonbuk, but Beijing go on home. They've done nothing, mate. Them in Brisbane, awful.
Two points between them.
Were there 2 points, a draw against Brisbane, a draw against each other?
I think you might be right. I'm not sure. I can't remember off the top of my head.
It's the pressing group, isn't it?
Well, yeah, Ulsan won fairly comfortably in the Chinese capital, and that means that their final game, as I say, home to FC Tokyo, that's going to be winner takes all in terms of who tops the group.
Well, you say fairly comfortable. It was a bit of a nail biter up until the 80th minute or so, wasn't it?
Well, it was 2-1. I mean, they were 2-0 up at half time. Zhang Jijing scored just after
Zhang-y.
Maranio made it safe at 3-1 with 10 minutes to go, and then, yeah, in injury time, Xiao Jihai scored a goal.
How did he do that?
He just did.
I was going to say Mourinho scoring again. He's been absolutely on fire, hasn't he?
Yeah, great stuff. As we said before, at the start of the season, he looked like... I mean, he's obviously just needed time to settle. It's a bit harsh to be too critical, but he certainly has settled now, and he seems to be banging him in.
I have to follow him around the fire extinguisher, because he's on fire. Boom, shakalaka. Remember that game? NBA Jam? You ever play that?
Of course.
Great game, wasn't it?
It was, because you had the big players and the tall players. So the big ones and the small ones, and there was no in-between. You were... Pooh Richardson, who's tiny.
From downtown!
Or Hakeem Olajuwon, who's a massive brute. Who can still dunk from the halfway line, which is impressive.
I love that
with
game.
Three flips.
I've got my phone. Love it.
Didn't know there was a phone version.
Yeah, iPad, iPhone.
So moving on to Songnam, who did their... it's a bit harsh. They in as much as they gave up a one-goal lead at home to Nagoya Grampus. So those two teams, the Koreans and the Japanese, sit atop the table with 6 points. So with 7 points, Central Coast Mariners just a point behind with 6 points. And so in the final game, Songnam will play Tianjin Teda, and they need to get something from that game. If they get a win, they'll obviously be through, and Tianjin are already out. So, you know, they look well positioned.
You wouldn't want to bet a lot of money on Songnam getting a result when they need it this season. Unfortunately, they've come good to a certain extent lately. Obviously, the disappointing result against Suwon, but I mean, they're not as bad as they were, are they?
They should be right. I think, you know, it does them no harm at all that Tianjin are already out. I guess they're playing for pride, the pressure's off in terms for the Chinese side, but you'd like to be playing away.
National pride, mate. Chinese, a lot of that. It's mandatory, isn't it?
It
is. That and happiness.
And really forced smiles.
Yeah, and loving red.
Ooh.
Like, it sounds like Canada.
There is one more Chinese side to get through.
Oh.
In with the Korean side, don't worry. Ganju Evergrande, they're level in points with Kashiwa with 7 points. 2 points above them, Jeonbuk, who ground out an incredible result in Guangzhou. They were 1-0 down for most of the first half. Lee Seung-hyun scored on the stroke of half-time. Lee Dong-guk in the 91st and 93rd minute to wrestle away a victory in that one.
And
which
full respect to Jeonbuk, having come back from a horror start in the tournament to put themselves in the box seat. I mean, you talk about group of death. This is, you know...
Well, yeah,
surprisingly, because of Brunei United's incredible...
Well, incredible start.
Absolutely incredible start.
But then they've lost three in a row, two to Jeonbuk.
So Kashiwa beat them on the weekend, or midweek.
Yeah, it was just 1-0. So Buriram is still there and fighting, and it's a great group in that every team has every chance of qualifying. If they can, any team who wins their last game will go through, absolutely guaranteed. So yeah, Jeonbuk they're playing at home to Kashiwa.
Okay.
Who of course they lost 5-1-2 last time in Japan. If they win, they'll win the group without a doubt, and they'll almost certainly be through if they draw. So,
gee, that's a cracking group though, isn't it? I mean, there's only 2 points. Well, 3 points between first and last, and
roller coaster.
Mm. But I mean, if Buriram win and Jeonbuk lose, it's based on the games they played. You were saying last week, basically on the games they played against each other, isn't it? Rather than based on.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
So I mean, well, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes for it interesting.
Yeah, I mean, goal difference be damned.
So let's go from the highest echelons of Asian professional football competition to the Korean FA Cup.
Well, you say it's about the FA Cup, mate. If I can reach into Burndog's magic hat of cliches.
Okay.
It's about romance, mate. It's not about high echelons or low echelons. It's about romance. The romance of the cup.
I think you're gonna go for the magic of the cup, but
oh really?
Romance would do. What is better, romance?
Mate,
or magic?
When you look like me, romance is magic.
I tell you what, that's another pod. Which is best, romance or magic?
Burndog's love pod. Producer Ian's in need of a new pod. He's got easier for 10 more days, isn't he? Sitting around on his Todd. Going to make his own little podcast. You'll see his range of like 50 pods. From when James did that, like Outside View Minute or whatever it was, where he's like, Yeah, and Johnny McLean's going to be pitching hard there for the old Nexon Hero Rangers. And I think Kim's been pitching up a good start. And it was just the most annoying minute of your life. Do you remember that?
I was going to say to you, I was going to break, you know, some massive exclusive that I went to my first ever baseball game on Friday. But then I remembered, I went with you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But they don't know. I'm pointing at you, listener.
Ooh.
But we went to the baseball, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we saw a man named Gangnam.
Oh, Yoon Gangnam.
Yeah, I never expected that someone could be named Gangnam.
Strong man,
yeah. It was Yoon Gangnam. Wasn't Yoon, it was Yoon.
No, it was Yoon.
We'll have to look that up. I'm not going to fight about it. Not again. Anyway, he was strong, wasn't he?
We're not going
to
look it up either, are we?
He was average.
But, Park Young Tech.
Bang!
Weeks back, regular listeners will remember Matt predicted the Parang goal, the goal in the Parang game when Suwon scored their first goal with, "This has got 0-0 written all up." Oh, good goal.
I did, yeah. Almost finished the sentence and we scored.
What happened at the baseball?
We scored the goal.
Yeah, Radončić. What happened at the baseball?
Well, no sooner had Ian said, "Oh, he's only got one home run all season. Why would they even bother?" Bang.
Park Young
Tech. Back of the net. Metaphorically speaking. Probably some poor child's crown knowing the baseball. Good hit, though.
One home run in a whole game.
Tell you what, the baseball, for lovers of football, the baseball has nothing.
It is slow.
It's slow. And when it's not slow, it's annoying.
Just throw it. They spend 20 minutes thinking about throwing it. Just throw the bloody ball.
It's like some of the special needs kids in my classes, right? They're either slow and just sitting there not doing anything, or they're running about making all the noise in the world. Like, you know, at the end of the day, I just want to watch sport.
And
the sports entertainment thing the Americans like.
And there was 9 innings. I did know there would be 9 innings, but when you see it in person, they just run off, and then they run back again, then they run off again, then they run back. 9 times each!
Yeah. And, you know, it's what you were saying, mate. There's too many lives. It's not like the cricket, is it? 11 lives. You got to really work for
each
it.
Each one matters. It really matters. And they've got a glove. That's cheating.
Oh.
How can you have
a glove? Every time the ball's in the air, it's a catch.
I suppose you could say the same about a goalkeeper, but... It's a very specialist position. Everyone's
or
got a
Jonky
glove.
Rhodes.
And if the goalkeeper had, like, clown hands...
That'd be brilliant.
You know, he's got these big giant hands. Ones.
Oh, it's all right. It's just a glove, isn't it?
That wouldn't be all right, Ian J. Stop it.
When did they start with it? Well, when did they start with the gloves in baseball?
Even it's the ridiculous. Mesh in between the thumb and the forefinger.
It's basically cheating. Yeah.
And, like, we were talking at the time, in the cricket, if you catch it, you know you've caught it. Yeah. You've probably broken a finger. And that's what it should be about.
I mean, you know, you have specialist fielders who can catch.
That's their job.
They can catch. Jaunty Rose.
Oh, I love Jaunty Rose.
His name was Jaunty.
Jaunty. That's probably called.
But, you know, and then you had, like, specialist non-fielders like Phil Tufnell, who couldn't catch to save their life. Remember that? He took a magic catch in Australia once, though. Absolute magic. Running at full tip, sort of half falling over the boundary.
Someone stuck in his hand. It was laced with marijuana or something.
God bless him. Well, let's move away from controversy and back to the FA Cup.
FA Cup. Well, we looked. This is, of course, it's the third round draw. All the quarterfinals, depending on how exciting. In America, they call it the round of 16, the quarterfinals.
They would too.
But
round of death.
It's the round in which the big guns, the K-Leagues, or in the case of Sangju Sangmu, literally the big guns, come into the competition. And Sangju is where we start off this preview. They are at home to Ulsan Meepo Dockyards, the National League champions. That is a banana skin.
Yeah, the Dolphins versus the Army. I mean, in real life, you know that'd turn out. Don't you?
The Army could train the Dolphins, so maybe that could be working in the Army's favour.
Yeah.
Clear the minds.
That should be a cracking game, if it goes to plan.
It's a shame that 14 of the K-League sides are at home, which kind of spoils the romance a bit. But one of the ones that isn't at home is a rematch of last season's one of the upsets of the whole game, and Charlie Robinson's Busan at home to James Adrupt and Matty Hanna's Gyeongnam team. Last year, Busan won this game.
Yeah, well, the way Gyeongnam are playing these days, it shouldn't be a shock to anyone.
Yes.
Busan, we like Busan, don't we? That Busan, not the
I like the other Busan as well. I'm going to put it out there.
I don't. Busan I Park. Piss off.
A couple more exciting ones. Daegu are home to the Korean Police. The Korean Police knocked over one of the university ties 4-0 in the last
I was going to ask you who the Korean Police were playing, because, you know, they've become my third team.
Sure.
What's your third team?
In Korea?
Yeah.
I don't even know where my second team is.
Why didn't you use your second team this year? We talked about this every week on the pod.
If I've gone off them because they've become rubbish.
No, you're on the bandwagon. You can't just jump off.
No, I'm well off the bandwagon now. They're useless.
Bloody hell.
I like Daegu, though.
So Daegu's your second team?
No, then? They don't get any fans.
Oh, well, you can, well, you could be their fan.
Quite like any team selling young players on the second team.
I tell you what, this week...
Yeah?
I mean, I'm only going to do it now because we're about to... I mean, I might be killing the lead for our next story, but... I think Deja will be coming my second team, mate.
Oh.
Don't you reckon?
Well, yeah, okay, well, that's the last one.
They're like a puppy that someone kicked and you want to love.
Daejeon Citizen at home to Gyeongju. And if you can cast your mind back but 1 week...
No, I can't, mate.
Depending on when you're listening. I mean, could be more than a week.
Yeah, and if you're listening... Well, you might be listening to all of these in
back
the future.
Back to back,
yeah. Oh. What a week.
Woof.
Imagine that world.
Myself and NE correspondent Charlie Robinson actually predicted... Daejeon at home to Gyeongju. Gyeongju being, you know, the third tier from the Challengers League, but the best team in that league, against, you know, as the table says, the worst team in the K-League at the moment. So, how do they normally say? It's like, what, 12 or 15 places, you know, league places between the sides. That's exciting. It's yeah. 8 Daejeon, but come on, Daejeon never went home. They're useless.
Whoa.
What?
Ian. You didn't listen to the classified results, mate.
Oh, shh.
Exactly. Look, Better than hearing it from me. Let's cut across to a little farewell greeting to us from a man who knows more about Daejeon than even the mustard makers of southern France.
Greetings, gentlemen, from sunny Daejeon. I just wanted to say that I've been delighted to have been part of this show, even if it's a small part. But more delighted, really, to have been a regular listener. I think you guys have done an absolutely fantastic job. In particular, making the K-League more accessible for people in this country. I think you should be absolutely proud of what you've done. I'm really going to miss listening to your show. That said, I can't leave you boys without asking one final question of you, and that's this. Suwon, what's the score? Suwon, what's the score? Suwon, what's the score? Suwon, what's the score? Cheers, boys.
The K-League.
Bloody good question, that isn't it, mate? Eh?
Yes.
It's your game of the week, isn't it? Yes.
It certainly was.
Hepped up young fella.
Daejeon. Yeah.
Mustard, as I've only.
No home wins this season. Don't even think you've got a home point this season. Suwon, not so well away from him. Top of the league. Come on, that is 3 points for the away side.
Have they conceded more than one goal in any game so far in this K League season?
Yes.
Against Daejeon.
And to answer your question, Liam, Suwon lost 2-1 at Daejeon.
I bet, though, there was some sort of horrible injustice to Suwon, like they had a man sent off or something.
No. You've got it the wrong way around, Bernard.
What do you mean? I heard there were 10 men.
Yeah, there were 10 men. 10 men for Daejeon for 60 minutes.
Can you
believe such a thing? So...
No, wait. You must be mistaken.
No.
There's no way that... I'll guess what happened, right?
Go.
Game starts, Daejeon score 2 jammy goals, get a man sent off, Suwon score 1 in reply, game over.
No way. It was an absolute afternoon of shocks and firsts, as first Kevin Orris, fairly early on, in as early as the 23rd minute, scored his first goal of the K-League, or if his first goal in Asia, or Korea, or Daejeon, or anywhere else, in Belgium.
Orris the Orifice, he banged one in.
There were no holes in his defence.
Bang!
Plenty in the Suwon defence, though, as a lovely cross found Oris's forehead. It did take a rather massive deflection off the Suwon defender Kwakland's son.
Jammy.
But Fanus went to the net, and he was clearly over the moon with that. But then, that's 23rd minute. 10 minutes later, it looks, you know, things are, you know, reverting to type, as they say, as Radončići levelled, but not before Jung Young Ho had been sent off for the home side.
To be fair, which I do, I say that a lot, not just in the pod, or maybe not in the pod, but in real life. To be fair, and people say,
"It's good that you're fair."
Yeah, but I'm not. That's why I want other people to be fair, so I don't have to be. But anyway,
if you could be fair, maybe that's.
It was a red card, wasn't it?
Well, it was. I mean, Eong Ray took a free kick from about 30 yards. It deflected off the wall and went straight through to Radončići, who is now clean through on goal. And yes, Chang Gung Ho hacked him down from behind.
It was a gung ho challenge,
and one that the Suwon players, we talked about last week, the crowds around the referee, he's the last man, send him or send him.
Don't like it.
The referee did his duty in that respect. He did send him off. Redundancy put away the penalty. It's 1-1, so one game over, right? So we've got to win this.
He took his time with that penalty, too.
I think it was the referee taking his time. And also...
it was annoying.
The Dejan player taking his time walking off the pitch, which I would do, too, to be fair to him.
I'd sit down.
So the second half...
me and Harry, mate.
Suwon had chances, but... You didn't get that much of an impression that Suwon were going to, you know, at any time... put in 2 or 3 and make the game as safe as they should do with their numerical advantage.
Just sit in the circle.
And Dejan holding on manfully. I mean, it's not the first time they've held on well. I mean, if you remember the Jeonbuk home game where it took until the last minute until they lost that game. A couple of other games as well. But this time, it was actually the shoe was on the other foot. As in the last minute, Jang Sung-young piled the ball forward. Jeez. Looked like Suwon, you know, final chance. It breaks to Orris, you know, over in the Suwon half. There's only two defenders ahead of him, so he's running, bombing forwards to a goal, takes on the defender, somehow gets through the defender.
He sort of, it was one of those ones where he sort of played it off the defender's leg, but and the defender looked confused.
He tapped it forward. It was impressive that, considering he's played as the lone striker in a 10-man formation for over an hour.
Yeah,
he's absolutely bombed it forwards. It looks like he's a bit wide. He's not going to be able to score from there. Defender closing down him, no chance, have a punt. Blumenek is gone in the far corner. What a goal.
It was nice, wasn't it? Lovely finish. Like, whatever else to say about it, the finish was tight, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been given the space, you know, in his own, sorry, in the Suwon half, but having done that, I mean, it was an absolutely fine finish. Liam, as he probably kind of suggested before, went absolutely mental by all reports. Can't remember what happened, and that is the joy of football, isn't it?
I know it sounds horribly condescending, but you don't mind.
No.
You know what I mean? You don't mind. I mean...
In all seriousness, that is what you go to the football for. Yeah. It's fun winning 3-0, but...
And when the Dejan players celebrated, you felt it. You know what I mean? Like, even the subs were piling onto that man pile.
Big bundle was lovely.
Yeah, it was running and jumping on each other. And you can appreciate that. You know what I mean? Like, you can appreciate it a lot more than when you see, like... You know, I'm not having a go, but you see, you know, your expensive import player score his third goal for the game in a 3-0 rout.
Probably not expensive, I should just...
And then run about doing, like, you know... this over elaborate celebration like he's just won the World Cup, and he's like, no, I'm not talking about in this game.
Oh, I see.
I'm talking about in other games.
Not caring.
He's just like, he's like piss off. And then you see the Orifice come out and he's banged one in late, a classy goal. You know, he's worked bloody hard to get it, and he's celebrated exactly how you should, and you don't mind. You know what I mean? Whereas, you know, you get these expensive players that come in and they bang in robots, banging goal after goal, and they celebrate like they've just, you know, I don't know, won the Belgium FA Cup for the fourth time. And he's like, piss off.
Harsh, but fair.
Well, it's our last pod. We've got to, you know...
go for the jugular.
No more, we can leave our markers out. This is it. This is, like, you think about this, right? In the future, which, you know, I care a lot about now, apparently, people, when they download the pod, all they're going to download, if they're like, oh, you know, I'll download one episode, it's this episode.
Is it?
This is going to be the one that they listen to.
We need to pull our act together then.
Yeah, I've got to put the whiskey down.
But it's really changed the complexion of the league. Not only have Suwon...
You're not my real dad.
Not only have Suwon fallen off the top of the league, but Dejan, I mean, if they'd lost this game, they'd have been 4 points adrift. They were 3 points going into the game.
Wait, did they move up?
No, of course not. But they're only 1 point behind Incheon and only two behind Gyeongnam now. So it kind of really changes the way you look at it now. I mean, having only 3 points after 10 games made you think, well, that 3-point gap is not going to be easy to make up. But now it's only 1 point. And Dejan, if they can, in any possible way, build on that, they've got a really tough job to do that because they're away at Pohang next week. But if they can somehow manage to build on that, then wow.
I tell you what, you wouldn't be saying, where have you gone down, supporter, would you?
You wouldn't.
It looks dangerous.
They've had a terrible run of results and they've got an awful run of fixtures coming up.
I remember reading, not so long ago, a quote from a Gyeongnam supporter saying, thank goodness... that only one team will be going down, but now they could be that one team.
Yeah, they've got three in the last, four games have been losses, and it doesn't look very good.
Dejan is suddenly getting it together.
Yeah, should we talk about the Gyeongnam game then, or should we go to your game?
Come on, mate, it's my game, isn't it?
Go on then, pal. Is your name going the Gyeongnam game?
sorry, mate.
Is your game the Gyeongnam game?
No, mate, mine was the. Is your Gyeongnam game? I thought I was back home. My mum, is that you? Is your Gyeongnam Gyeongnam Wollongong along? That's what you're going to go with, wasn't it? Wollongong. Anyway, as I was saying, mate, my game's Seoul versus Pyeongchang, apparently.
Oh. Oh, so that
link
didn't work as well as I hoped it had.
I Can we talk about the coq de sportif racism craze?
I wouldn't call it a craze.
They've gone off.
Become fashionable. Well, apparently,
it's become fashionable, isn't it, with Le Coq de Sportif to be moderately racist towards Catholic players.
One of the designers of Le Coq Sportif career, this is all allegedly, this is not our words, just what we read today.
In the media.
On his Twitter, on his tweets.
Yeah.
He has, yeah, said some very untoward racial absurd things against Adi, the, you know, obviously the black Brazilian defender.
Oh. Well, he said he was complaining about how he looks in the shirt that he designed.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you are the designer of that shirt, let me just point out, you've kind of moderately copied the Milan shirt anyway. It didn't take a lot of design.
The new shirt is horrible compared to the ones before.
Yeah. So I mean, if it looks crap, it's because you are a crap designer.
Point the finger at yourself, pal.
Yeah. Go to a hall of mirrors. Have a good hard look.
And not only that, it was Adi, before the game on Sunday, it was actually Saturday even, it was his 200th game for the club, so they had Ki Sung Yeong come out and present him a lovely bouquet of flowers, a nice framed photograph.
Kid top.
Ironically, he was already wearing one, so he didn't need one. But it was a nice moment, and it's kind of a shame that since then this is broken, and why say it?
He's had 199 games to look at him in the kid top and get used to it. Anyway, a ridiculous thing. When those sort of tweets, they're not tweets, they're twats, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we should say is that Le Coq Sportif career have come out and said that he is not their designer and he's just pretending to be a designer. I mean, who knows? But
that'll go on over the coming weeks.
It's a shame anybody can even say that, regardless of whether they hold an official position, you know, or not. So,
anyway, the game itself was a bit of a corker, wasn't it? It was it finished up 2-1, as we heard in the classified results, but it was a tale of two Tays.
Oh, was it?
That won it for Seoul, yeah.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, normally when Seoul win, and I'm not even going to go, but as I said before, big name, big money imports, the boys you expect to see on the score sheet, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, they do have what I would call a prolific scoring machine. But this week, wasn't about that, was it?
It only took 24 seconds. It's the quickest Kaylee goal of the season, probably for quite some time. As bomber down the right, Kim Tae-wan cross for Chetuk, who fired home, and yet not even 25 seconds on the clock, and already Seoul are goal to the good.
Yeah, that's it. My first Tay.
Yeah.
The second Tay, of course, Kim Tae-wan.
Yeah.
He scored, but not before Asamoah, our favourite man, the lazy man.
Selfish man, selfish player.
It was selfish maybe with the goal, but it was a nice enough goal, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, he was played through, and the Seoul defenders vainly claiming for offside never was, as one of the defenders was playing one. He used his pace to burn away from those defenders, having broken the offside trap, and then it looked like he'd actually lost the opportunity as the defender came across, slid in, and knocked the ball kind of away from goal, but Asamoah was the first to the loose ball, and he slid at home past Kim Yong-dae, and that was 1-1.
Yeah, and they looked good at that point. It was like 54 minutes in. I thought maybe around 70 minutes or so, Hwang Sung-hong might bring on Zeku. But he waited and waited. He didn't come on until about the 80th minute, I think.
Unbelievable. He's the most expensive player in the club's history.
Yeah.
And
so
he's playing 5 minutes a game.
So he waited and waited and waited. And then, obviously, Seoul scored in the 74th minute with a decent enough finish by Kim Tae-wan.
Again, it was all about Molina, that wonderful little lofted ball over the top that Kim Tae-wan was able to put away.
Well, that's the thing. When they're not scoring, like Molina and Dayan, they're still involved in all the play. Even if they're not necessarily like making the runs and getting the goals, they focus the defenders on them. You know, the midfielders and the defenders are always looking for where's Molina, where's Dayan, where are they running, where are they going, what's going on. And it does take them out. So it does leave a lot of space for the other players to get in and get a goal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's what happened here, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I'm just saying, man, it's not like Zeku's unproven, is it?
Absolutely not. I mean, you wonder what the inside story is there, don't you? Maybe there is some sort of fitness, some kind of...
Well, we thought that when we saw him, didn't he? He did look a bit... Not unfit so much as lacking in legs. But, yeah. I mean, maybe there's something to it. But you'd like to see him play more. I don't know.
Well, you would, because when he plays, he's a class player. He scores goals, and he scores good goals.
Yeah, and the Seoul defence looked a little bit shakier when he came on. Anyway, let's move on. Good result for Seoul, anyway. Moves him up to, what, fourth in the table?
That's right, fourth in the table.
Fourth.
Joint third. So, Seoul, again, showing that they could well be a team to be reckoned with this season.
Yeah, aye.
Songnam Jeju are level on points now with FC Seoul, and with 22 points. They again, it's similar to the Daejeon Suwon game, in as much as Jeju had a numerical advantage after Hongqiao had been sent off in the 55th minute. We looked at this together. Did you think it was a straight red card?
We did talk about this, didn't we? There's a, no. Producer Ian's lost his mind. But no, it's difficult because part of me agrees with you.
Right. So the situation is he slid in for the ball. He kind of goes towards the ball, but he doesn't get the ball. Yeah, but he's clearly going for the ball. One-footed.
Yeah.
The foot is on the floor. It's not knee-high or anything, but he does take the ankle before he takes the ball.
So you were saying before, you think that it's all right. It's a yellow card. But then my opinion, as we covered earlier, is that you're right, but you're wrong. You can see why a referee might consider it reckless.
Yeah, I think that's the key word, reckless, and it doesn't have to be necessarily. It doesn't matter if you catch the player or if you break his leg. That's not the important thing. It's is he in control?
So, yeah, I mean it was
like you say.
The other side of it was low impact, wasn't it?
So I think you could argue either way that it was red, or just the yellow. But
I would say the reckless nature of it. You're right, but then the fact that it was very low impact. He didn't hit the other guy at all, really. And he wasn't injured or bothered or really. I think normally a referee would give it a yellow, but I can understand why.
You'd have two or three yellow cards. So two or three red cards a game if you're going to punish every challenge of that. But anyway, and that meant Jeju had the advantage, and they soon turned that into a goal as well. First of all, in the 68th minute, So Dong-young came on. That's when the game started, essentially.
Really?
Yes, because as we've spoken about before, 55th minute. So they've thrown caution to the wind. We can bring on Sodin Khan just to lift the morale of everybody.
All right. So after the red card, Jeju brought on Sodin Khan.
Obviously.
That's like 12 against 10.
It's not fair, is it?
That's not
but
right.
But you got to remember,
should be a rule.
He lifts the spirits of that of everybody.
Yeah, you're right.
Even the referee's performance you're improved right. after Sodin Khan came.
Were there
the
any
pitch.
More red cards?
Of course not.
Exactly.
There's only love when So takes the pitch. And 79th minute, it looked like they were going to go on to another famous victory away at Songnam, as Song Jin-hyun with a boomer of an effort
smash
to put them one up. That's going to be enough. It's not.
Of course it is. What?
2 minutes later, Im Jung-un with a header from a corner kick. That means Songnam have got the goal they needed, and it's a 1-1 draw.
Anyway, who cares? The main story is there was nothing happening. Son Jin-hyun came on, 2 goals.
Exactly. Although, it should be said, Park Byung-ju, who's a centre-back, scored an absolute wonder of a bicycle kick. It was offside.
Yeah,
but
it was
a brilliant goal.
I appreciate that he didn't... He immediately sort of said offside.
Maybe the pressure's off. You kind of try something a bit stupid when you know you're offside and it's not going to matter anymore.
It was
either
lovely,
way.
Though.
But it was a wonderful finish.
This week, though, you got to admit... Oh, they've turned it on for our last pod, haven't they?
They certainly have.
A lot of goals. I don't know. I'm gonna wax lyrical for a second here, Ian. There were some goals this week that, it makes me want to dig up my grandma and tell her about them. Put her back down, obviously.
Yeah, again, leave that outside the podcast.
Yeah, edit that out.
Yeah. Another exciting game. Incheon United. What?
Edit all of this out.
Kim Bong-gil, the caretaker manager there...
The fish.
He hasn't seen a goal yet, and yet he sees 3 against the champions. Come on.
What do you mean?
Didn't count for much.
Incheon didn't get 3 goals, did they?
Incheon scored 3 goals!
Wait, if you told me there were 6 goals in this game, you know what I think, wouldn't you? 5-1.
Exactly right, or 6-0. But no, Jeonbuk did score 3 of their own, 2 of which were in the last minute.
Jeez!
So, we've criticised Jeonbuk this season. They've let in a lot of late goals.
We've criticised a lot of people.
But when Incheon United took a 3-1 lead in the 80th minute, thanks to a nice turn and finish from Seol Ki-hyun, it looked like finally, Incheon were going to get back to winning ways.
At last.
Didn't happen. Aninho and then Idonguk, terrible defending. It was Incheon with that really, really slapdash defending there. And Jeonbuk came away with a point when it looked like 0 were in the offering for them.
It was incredible, really, wasn't it? The final goal was like the epitome of what it was. It was that charging run forward, the ball in, the header in. It was just like that movement and pace and sort of like just that attack. It was really good, wasn't it?
It was very good from the Jeonbuk perspective. But Idonguk is, as we all know, pretty much a well known goal scorer, and to give him that much space in the 93rd minute. 6 yards from goal to flick a header home. That's criminal.
It's
no wonder.
I think the ball in though was pretty special.
Yeah.
And his experience really showed in that, just the ability to run in and know the ball was coming and head in.
You're too kind.
I'm not too kind. It's just I don't expect much from Incheon, you know.
That's fair.
And Jeonbuk, they really, I respect what they did. We talked about this before. I've said it like a broken fat record, that teams like Jeonbuk, they'll get results where they shouldn't get anything. Yeah. And they've stolen a point, absolutely. Like, not just stolen the point, but they've stolen the point, battered the fishwife and headbutted the father.
Okay, so now Gangwon home to Sangju. We call this as a home win for Gangwon. But it wasn't just not a home win for Gangwon. Sangju absolutely walked away with a 3-0 victory. First goal, nice goal.
Yeah.
Third goal, not a bad goal. Third goal, what? A volley from the halfway line?
The greatest goal in football history.
Apart from that Pepe Cissé goal.
No, this goal was better than... Oh, yeah. Did you see that? Obviously you did. It was all right. When a goal in the English Premier League by a non-Australian player or a player not in an Australian team makes the front page of the Australian news websites, you know it's got to be pretty bloody good.
And Kim Chilho's goal was not too far off. The goalkeeper ran out to clear, you know, a through ball. He's kind of popped a decent enough clearance, but he's well out of his own goal. Up to the man, the legend, Kim Chilho. First time volley on the halfway line. It's just smacked it home.
Say that a bit slower. A first time volley from the halfway line. Could you imagine if David Beckham did that, or Ronaldo, or any of these people? It would be on the front page of every news source in the world.
Stankovic did it for Inter Milan about 3 years ago. That was a brilliant goal. But this was as good as that, and this is from a, you know, Korean defensive midfielder.
But no one's ever going to see this goal apart from you, me, and the other four people who watch the YouTube video.
It was one YouTube video we watched this week, which had had three viewers, and we were
and
the
we'd
third
watched
one.
It twice.
So yeah, this is the kind of level of interest.
It was that good. Like,
But all I can say, you're glad he was on the winning team.
Yeah.
It's a shame it wasn't the winner, but you're glad. If that was a consolation goal, it'd be a shame. That was just
when a goal like that goes in, that referee should blow the whistle and be like, game done.
Yeah.
We're not going to do anything better than that. Let's just piss off.
And they should even give the first and third goals to Kim Chilho to say, you're the best.
I can't say enough about that goal.
But probably best to move on at some
point. Oh, yeah, otherwise they'll get bored.
Busan I-Pohok, they beat Gangnam FC 1-0 home. Not a shock in itself.
No, not anymore.
Busan have kept six clean sheets out of seven.
Piss off.
That's insane.
They have not.
They really have.
Are you making that one up?
And they've been winning games
as
well.
Is that from their Wikipedia page?
Oh, okay, check it out whilst it's there. The Daegu FC website, the introduction on their Wikipedia page says, Daegu FC won the 2012 K-League Championship on Football Manager, beating Gwangju 7-6 in a two-legged final.
The greatest Wikipedia entry
I've ever seen. Like the top bit. That's not like at the bottom with the references. That's the top bit. It's been there for about a month.
I love it. They won the K-League that hasn't been played yet.
On a computer game.
Yeah, I love that.
And they beat Gwangju in the final. How ridiculous. If you're going to be FC Seoul or Jeju in the final, fair enough. Gwangju in the final. Only in the realms of fantasy.
They're close enough, mate. In the playoffs, anything can happen.
Well, yeah, Bang Sung Hwan, just to kind of claw this back, gave Busan their third win in a row. They're unbeaten in about six. Sorry, they're unbeaten in seven. Unbelievable.
What?
Six of which are clean sheets, as I mentioned. Unbelievable. They're fifth in the league ahead of the likes of Jeonbuk and Pohang. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, defense wins matches, doesn't it?
Defense, yeah, exactly. I mean, what he's done there, Anik Su, Busan, considering, you know, the players that have to upload, Matt Mackay's come in. I think he's played eight games. He's got four assists in those games. He's going great guns in the defensive midfield position. And Busan aren't conceding goals and are nabbing one or two a game. And it's just unbelievable.
That's what they say, isn't it? Clean sheets win matches. Goals get supporters, you know?
Is that... I've not heard that, but that's very true.
Mm. People want to see goals, but they want, you know...
Yeah.
You want clean sheets, yeah, more than that.
Really do.
And that's Busan, mate. That's how you get fifth.
Yep, so a couple to go. Gwangju home to Daegu. This is an intriguing one. It's actually a decent game. There's Daegu race into a 2-0 lead thanks to Kim Gi-hee. And Lee Jin-ho, if you remember, scored that wonderful volley last week. Not quite as exciting this week, although there was a back heel in the build-up.
That back heel was sublime.
It was straight into Lee's path, who then was, you know, given... You complained because you said it wasn't a very good friend.
Whoa! Steady on this.
He passed it home from 8 yards.
I said it was a nice finish. It didn't require a lot of effort, though, did it?
Exactly, because the back heel made, you know, gave him the opportunity.
But I would have been able to hit the ball in.
You'd be struggling.
Yeah, wouldn't have happened that way. But his celebration, we enjoyed it last week when he gave a bit of the old, look at my name, bitches. But this week, he seemed to do a little bit of, he was whistling, wolf whistling himself, and then, bang!
Whistling into a cartwheel.
Double somersault.
Bro.
Cartwheel. That's like...
Yes, that's British primary school isn't it? Like,
monkey bars. You have monkey bars, mate?
Oh, we certainly did.
What'd you call them?
Yeah, monkey bars. Heaps of fun, weren't they?
Yeah. I never went on them.
No.
Too fat.
Couldn't squeeze between the bars.
I didn't want the other boys looking at my skirt.
But yeah, it wasn't enough of Daegu. They were 2-0 up. Just before halftime, Park Hyun scored and won that gave Gwangju hope. And just after halftime, Milic with one of the weirder goals you'll ever see. He's certainly starting to hit his stride in the K-League now, the big Eastern European striker they've got there. Kind of fun in the build-up. The ball was kind of played into feet. He dummied it to the Daegu defender, who pumped it up almost vertically in the air. You've got three or four players seeming to wait underneath it. None of them actually get anywhere near the bouncing ball, which has so much spin that it runs through to Milic, who's run about 3 yards ahead of anybody else, 2 yards from goal, who prods home. Bizarre goal.
It's impossible to do it justice, isn't it? Like, it's
a really, really bizarre goal.
The ball went like 60 or 70 metres in the air, almost straight up, spinning. It took a minute or so to come down. It was ridiculous. I said to you at the time, if you told him to do it, he'd never be able to.
You wouldn't be able to.
You couldn't do it.
But, I mean, we talked about baseball, and we've talked about Papi Sissé already in this podcast. We'll do it next. No, but what I mean is that the reason, for me, one of the reasons I like football so much, is that on a weekly basis, you can still see something that you've never seen before.
Yeah.
And in baseball, I can't imagine that happens very often.
Nah, guy throws, guy hits, guy catches.
Doesn't catch it, doesn't catch it. Guy throws,
guy hits,
whatever.
Goes out.
Cheating with those gloves. Whatever. But in football, I've just never seen a goal anything like Papi Sissé's, and I've never seen a goal. I mean, don't get me wrong, this goal was not as good.
You said quite rightly, in a way, it was that good because he did seem to read the spin, didn't he?
Because he dummied it to the Daegu defender who ridiculously pumped it with mass amounts of top spin.
But he didn't stand where you or I might stand,
i.e., under the ball.
He stood a metre further forward. For where the spin took the ball.
More than a metre, yeah.
It was amazing, wasn't it? Like, bizarre. Honestly, you wouldn't have expected him to get the ball, but it did spin. And it didn't just spin to him, it span centimetre bloody perfect onto his head.
Onto his foot.
Oh, onto his foot? Why do I think his head?
Because he's so tall. His head, maybe because he's so tall.
It went over his head, didn't it?
No, it went over the other defender's head and bounced to him. Yeah. Maybe because he is so tall, as the K-League's tallest ever player, he can actually see closer at hand the trajectory and the spin on the ball as it's 60 to 70 yards
in the air. It went over his shoulder, didn't it, and then down. You're right. I'm sorry, mate. My memory, you know.
But fair play to him. There were still 40 minutes to go, but that was enough for those two teams as they ground out a 2-2 draw that does bugger all for either of them.
Yeah.
Last game of the week, Ulsan top of the league, thanks to this result, they won 1-0 home to Jeonan.
But that's not the whole story, though, is it, mate? Never is.
Never is. I mean, thankfully not.
It's things we've never seen before.
It's not baseball, thankfully. So,
yeah.
So something you might not expect did actually happen.
Take that, Yoon Gangnam.
So Jeonan and Ulsan, it was a pretty even game. You'd have expected this to be a fairly comfortable Ulsan victory, perhaps, with the way they started the season. Well, at least, you know, in terms of... If you know Ulsan won the game, you might have thought it was comfortable. But Jeonan had, as you put it, a red hot go at things.
Yeah.
And could have conceded a goal. That was the kind of nature of the game.
Could have, would have, should have.
10-15 minutes to go. Ulsan had absolutely thrown the kitchen sink at things.
And then?
A corner swung in. Kwakdehi, good head. Off the underside of the crossbar.
Oh.
Bounces out to Egonhee, one of my favourites. He heads it back in exactly the same spot. Hits the crossbar, underside of the crossbar.
Another thing I've never seen before.
Two times they hit the crossbar, this exactly the same point, both underside. It was a carbon copy within 3 seconds of each other.
And we'd only said last week that it would have been funny if that guy had have hit the ball into the crossbar twice in a row.
Yeah, Leandro for Daegu.
Yeah, that guy.
Him. I said that. And so at this point, this is the 84th minute.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
It's not going to happen.
It's going to be nil-all, isn't it?
It's nil-nil.
Not your day. It's not your day.
Take a point. Yeah. Also. That's not bad in the grand scheme. And then Gosul Gi, he breaks forward, much like Kevin Orris, I suppose. Defender's backing off him in this case. He's got the freedom of the half to play with. He unleashes an absolute whirlwind from 25 yards. Ian Jay maybe should have saved it.
When you say I mean, you make it, wait, whoa. When you say an absolute whirlwind.
It was a very good strike.
A whirlwind you couldn't stop. This, Ian Jay maybe, again, circa 2002, may well have been able to get less of himself onto it. To be fair to Ian Jay, he did save what he could. He did...
You know, 1/8 of the ball and push it in the
post. Yeah, he touched the ball. And then after the ball went through, he hit the ground. And it's like, well, you can still hit that. You know, you can't hit the ball anymore, you old codge. But you can hit the ground. And that's all right, isn't it?
Well,
it moves slowly enough.
The thing was, he actually anticipated it fairly well, which is, you know, maybe his mind. Which meant that he actually got well to the ball, but then his body let him down. And instead of... I mean, it would have been a very good save, you've got to say that. But he's got his body there, and then... Instead of palming it just wide of the post, he just kind of...
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, just pushes it into the corner instead of past the corner.
Say at differing intervals, Ian Jay's mind and body have both let him down. But this was a case where only one did it at one time, wasn't it?
Wow, that was harsh. I mean, it was absolutely accurate. Spot it was on. Accurate, don't get me wrong.
Spot on.
But it was harsh.
Yeah. I've got a face mask still of him in my house.
I've got one as well from the last World Cup.
I tried to give it to my students, but they were like, nah.
Did you put it on? Because that's going to scare him away.
Yeah, I've got a kid named Ian Jay.
Oh.
Yeah, I tried to make him wear it. In class, they all give the Ian Jay.
Is he fat and soju guzzling as
well? No, he's all right. He's a good little kid. You know, a bit odd. And clearly, you know, he's destined for great things. But he wouldn't wear the mask. Like, it's your name. And he's like, teacher, piss off.
But the thing is, going back to the 2002 World Cup, I remember thinking, you know, at the time when I knew nothing about Korean football, not that much different from now, I remember thinking Ian Jay looked like the most normal human being. I mean, now he doesn't look normal because he's fat.
No. Well, I'm hearing you there.
But at the time, when he wasn't fat, when he was almost svelte, you might say, he just looked so normal, so indistinguished in his facial features. Yeah.
He could have just walked onto the pitch for a look around.
Hello, my name's Steve.
Someone said, put the gloves on, Steve. Put these on before you get fat.
Yeah, because otherwise we won't be able to fit them on.
Yeah.
That's the end of our fine leather K-League roundup. Ban, dog.
Email campaign. Dear boys of the outside view, I'm Sungmin Lee, and I'm so sad when I heard the news that you boys are closing this amazing podcast. It has been a great guide for any English speaker who are interested in Korean football, from the bottom to the top. I couldn't contribute frequently, but it was a great experience to be a correspondent of their outside view. Thankfully, whatever you are, credit to Mark Trevina, you can enjoy and discuss both the Korean football and other key football forum. And see you there, guys. Cheers.
Terrell, mate, that's my second favourite song.
Oh.
You know what my favourite song is?
Go.
Sunshine on Leaf.
Oh, I hate that song.
You never let me sing it.
Because it's horrible.
Can I sing it now?
Go.
I'm going to say no. No. When I do that with my hand.
Well,
my heart was broken.
So you say no and then you do it anyway.
My heart was broken.
Actually, got loads of emails this week. We got one from our correspondent, Charlie Robinson, who's, you know, we'll hear in just a moment anyway. He said, you know, thanks for the good work. Keep it up. Thanks. Well, not keep it up, but he said, you know, he's going to miss us like crazy is what he said. Yeah.
Keep going, mate. Sorry.
We've got another one from Matty Hanna, our Chan correspondent. He said, thanks a lot for all your hard work. He's had a great time listening, so thanks a lot for that. Ryan Schnell.
Wait. Let's go through these, you know, appropriately.
Ryan Schnell, an old time friend of the show.
Schnell. He's never heard that before, I'm sure.
Well, we're going to have to go through these quickly.
Funny Hogan's enough. Hero fan.
He says, you know, he's obviously sad to hear the end of the pot. I say, obviously. Thanks for keeping me informed of Korean soccer over the past couple of years.
Our pleasure.
No problem, Ryan. How is he going to keep up to date? That's his question. How can he keep up to date now that the pod's going?
I feel bad. He can ring me. if you want to ring us, what's your phone number? You going to put it out there? No, didn't think so. Mine's going to change. I can say mine now, but mine's going to change. By the time this goes up, I'll be back in Australia and this will be over.
So if you phone him in a month, you'll get a 6-year-old Korean kid with a second-hand phone.
010-8443-0675. Ring me.
You've never given me your phone number before.
Come on, mate. That's not true. How dare you?
So, okay, so how can
I? I haven't. It was on those business cards James made us. Yours is wrong, wasn't it?
My phone number was wrong.
Yours 1,000 business cards with the wrong phone
which
number.
Cost me E-Manon quite unexpectedly.
Me too. I gave mine to my students on my last day. They were really excited.
That is kind.
Yeah. They made me sign things. I had 100 kids lined up. Such I was signing a... soccer balls and English books and kids' hands. Teacher, teacher, sign. I've never signed a soccer ball before.
It's because you're not very good at football.
I am to them. To an 8-year-old, I'm amazing.
Hello, boys. This is James Edrubs here, the Gyeongnam correspondent, so far on the pod. Thanks ever so much, boys, for your efforts. It's been a fantastic listen every week. It's been my pleasure to join you on a couple of occasions. And although I'm a bit downbeat this year because we haven't been playing very well, I'm still a regular listener every week, and I will attend Gyeongnam games when I can. Cheers, boys. Safe trip, both of you. And I'm sure we'll hear from you soon. Cheers, boys. Ta-da.
So somewhere you can catch up with things, obviously, in the blog, www.outsideviewpodcast.wordpress.com.
I tell you what, now that me and producer Ian are essentially unemployed, you can expect a lot more quality stuff over there. But also the RAK Football Forum, mate. We always go there, don't we?
Yeah, it's not because we're on some kind of a pay scheme with the administrators there. I mean, it's just a brilliant website. It's really good chat, as some people say, banter.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like I very rarely post there, but most of our correspondents that you're here on the pod from time to time, we know from that podcast, forum, it's a very good place to go to meet other people who are interested in football.
No trolls as well, which is always a nice from not a rarity. Yet. From not yet. Yeah.
Well, I'm unemployed now, mate. I'm going to be on there every day, being like, you know, did you count the seats? Yeah.
But another thing. Hard. Another thing you can look at is, I've actually got the next email comes from Lex Nande, if you remember from last week. American, he's a Songnam supporter. And he's actually thinking with his friend to start his own K-League website.
A Songnam supporter thinking? I don't believe it.
Crazy as it sounds. So, yeah, obviously, I'm not sure what the website will be for that, but keep your eyes open, maybe in the future. So he's not a Songnam, he's a Jeonbuk supporter, I'm sorry.
Ah, wow, that's why he's thinking, no. Isn't it? They're always thinking down there.
Yeah, sorry, I knew that was wrong as soon as I said it.
I thought so too.
And so, you know, check out Lex's website if you can in the future, and maybe that will be a good point of call for all your K-League news. He talks about the IFFHS, which is the ranking system. It's by a bunch of geeks in Geneva, I think, or Switzerland somewhere, who, you know, come up with statistics that prove that Man United are the best team in the world.
Do you think it's nonsense?
Absolute tripe.
I'd rather look at my feet.
Yeah, Gyeongbuk, 63rd best club in the world, really? Best in Asia with 151.5 points. That, it just doesn't mean anything.
No.
I mean, what matters, if Gyeongbuk play, I don't know, Seoul, who are their 128th team in the world, who wins that game? That's what matters. It doesn't make a jot of difference. Gyeongbuk don't go into the game saying, well, we're actually 7 points better off.
We've said this a ton of times on the pod. Our faith in statistics is pretty limited. So I think statistics are useless, but really. And these sort of, like, uber stats, once teams play each other, they prove to be completely nonsensical.
Well, yeah, no one remembers who's top of the FIFA World Champ, you know, FIFA World ranking chart. You remember Spain won the World Cup, France won the World Cup in 1998. You remember that, you don't remember who was the World Cup, the top of the league in 2002. I have no idea, but I know Brazil won the World Cup.
Where people say, oh, well, they haven't won away to that team since 1992 or whatever. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. What matters is now.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Those sort of stats are just absolute bullshit.
But I did like the one the other day. When Fulham won at Anfield, Fulham had never won in the city of Liverpool before. That's a Brazil.
But they did win, didn't they?
They did.
So that proves the stat is useless.
No, but that's amazing. I mean, there's three professional clubs in that part of the world, and they've never won it. That's bizarre. So,
and also, I mean, obviously... Chanel, is it Chanel who said he wanted to know what's going on?
Yeah,
well, you can always read my blog if you want to. Yeah. Burn Dog. Just search, I am the most famous blogger in all Korea. So just type in Burn Dog blog into Google, number one. Or even search for most famous blogger in Korea, number one.
No worries. The last one this week.
Don't dismiss it.
Because it has nothing to do with it. Anyway, so David, Rossi Saint from the forum.
He hates it.
Again, the forum. In the forum.
Yeah, yes, mate. Yeah, Ross says that.
So he
nice
asks,
fella.
What are your best footballing memories of career?
I like that. For me, it would be, I mean, I'm hoping we don't have the same one.
I doubt it's going to be the same one.
But when Seoul, when Suwon beat Seoul to win the title, And do you remember that day?
I do.
We were together.
It was freezing.
It was cold, but just as we sort of sealed the win, the snow started falling. Do you remember that? It was just like it was. It just felt amazing. Like there was some sort of like celebration from on high for this win.
And Darren Duffy celebration.
It was. Yeah, that was as good as it gets for me. That's not just my greatest memory in Korean football, but being an Australian, that's my greatest football memory. In total, because obviously I don't have that sort of thing where I've been to like I saw Melbourne Victory win the title once. That was boring as, but this was it was just beautiful, and I'll never forget that. Just the snow coming down, the players sort of coming over and celebrating, and then just that going on. That was just as good as, and especially because it was Seoul, and you know we won the league against them, who had caused us some pain not long before, and it was beautiful. What about you?
My favourite Suwon memory is certainly winning away at Jeonbuk 2-1 in the last minute. But one of those games when the ante was really upped when Jo Jae-jin, much loved, ex-international striker, had scored to make it 1-1 with not too much time remaining and had really given it the big one in front of the Suwon fans. And then the ninth, third, ninth, fourth minute, Jo Yong-tae had put away a blind, well, not a particular blinder, but a real kind of emotionally building winner. And it was on Children's Day, so the sun was out. I don't know how to say it, James and other people's shirts were off.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those games when it all kind of came together. But my favourite footballing memory in Korea is a bizarre one, in as much as it was the most unspectacular game of football ever. But our gang correspondent, John Harrison, will absolutely agree with me, and maybe even agree at one of his favourite moments, I think. We spent the seasons following Bucheon, the K3 Challengers League side, and went away to Yangju, and we had a riotous day up there. And Yangju were the league champions at the time. They'd gone 1-0 up. They spent most of the game winning 1-0. We'd had quite a lot of, as you might say, banter with the Yangju team, because you know at that level you can talk to the players. And then it looked like we were going to lose 1-0 to the champions, and the central defender came up and he scored the most unremarkable goal from a corner in the last minute, and I haven't been that potty at the football since coming from England.
That's lovely.
It was absolutely wonderful. It was one of those games when you know, you spend the next day, you wake up in the morning, you just got a smile on your face, one more smile, oh, that Bucheon goal.
What would be your most forgettable moment, do you think?
All right, so we're joined now by the man whose mind was impregnated with the thought of the pod father, if you will, James Maas.
Hello, ladies. How are you guys?
We're good, mate. It's just me and Ian, producer Ian now. Producer
Hi.
Ian.
So, wait, are you telling me that English Ian didn't want to talk to me?
No, he's gone home, mate. It's a lot later now. He lives in Seoul, as you know. So he had to leave a bit earlier, but it's me and producer Ian now. So you got the best of the pod, if you don't mind me saying.
Absolutely, I love you guys.
But it's good to have you here, mate. I've got to say, as an outsider in a way, thank you for letting me on the pod. Because you remember in the beginning it was just you and Ian, and I used to come on every now and again.
Yeah, well, that's where we had like 4 listeners, then you came on and we got all popular and stuff. I believe you stole the show.
Well, mate, I do remember it used to take about 4 hours to do a podcast with you and your fucking constant repeats. But then I came on and I remember your look of awe when I managed to say, "Welcome to the outside view" in one take. And it was amazing.
Hey, I remember my name like half the time. That gets me something.
But anyway, James, let's not waste our time talking about the nostalgic feelings of the pod gone by. Have you been watching the K-League over there in the US?
Yeah, absolutely. I wake up every Saturday and Sunday at 1 a.m. to watch it.
Well, you all wake up, mate. If we don't wake up, we're dead.
Yeah. So, well, no, I enjoy it. Thanks to Africa and Naver, I'm able to watch most games live.
Very sure.
What are your impressions of the K-League thus far?
Oh, definitely a lot of surprises. I think the surprise of the year was last weekend when Daejeon beat Suwon, which I'm sure you guys already talked about. But well on them for doing that. You guys always know how much I love Daejeon.
Yeah, well, Daejeon's become my second team, mate. I've given up on Gwangju.
That's because you love purple. You're a little purple people lover.
Not just purple, but I also love teams that can beat Suwon in a comical fashion. And they did a great job. I really like the fact they were down to 10 men. Deservedly, perhaps, but certainly they had a great go.
Yeah. I always, after I watched the game, it felt like I just watched a game where Suwon's like, it was like a cartoon where Suwon's characters were like just just going out there taking the piss and not even trying. And Dejan were like this big, strong, bad team that were the underdogs. It's a Disney movie in the making, I believe.
I think the time difference made you feel a bit weird and drunk and maybe high. But that's great.
Yeah. Well, it is 10 a.m. here.
So, this season they brought in relegation. How do you feel about that? Do you think it's affecting the league this far? Who do you think is a liable suspect for being relegated?
Well, you definitely got to look at the usual suspects like Dejan and Sungju and all that. But I think it's a fucking terrible idea because they're going to. There's no coming back from the second division, in my opinion.
Yeah,
they don't even know what the second division is. The KFA hasn't even decided which teams from the in league are going to move up.
Sungju have to be relegated. They're definitely going down. What other team do you think will go down with them? You said Dejan before. Do you mean that?
Yeah, I do. I do mean Dejan. Dejan only play well against Suwon. They play like shit against everybody else.
Fair point. But what about Incheon? Incheon is shit against everyone as well.
Yeah, well, no, but I think that they're able to pull it together. Usually, about mid-season, they always have a good run mid-season. So I think that's gonna save them.
Fair enough.
I thought you brought up an interesting point there when you said that relegation is permanent. You don't think that it's possible for a team to come back from the second league, the N league, if you will.
That's our word.
No. Yeah, well, the in league is a whole other meaning here in Texas, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, absolutely. I think you look like Suwon City is attempting to move into the K league, and there's no way that they'd get any support because they have like 100 people. You can't have two teams in Suwon. It's just it's impossible.
As the old song goes, there's only one team in Suwon, mate. You can't have two.
Yeah,
two teams in
there's only one goal in Arsenal too, and that's not the Champions League goal.
All right, mate, let's move on. It's not the English Premier League podcast. We're the Guardian, are we, mate? If we were the Guardian, you'd be our Sid Lowe. You know, don't you?
So, James, we've talked about the dregs right of the K League. What about the higher end? Who do you think's going to make it into the top six for the playoffs, and then eventually who's going to win it? Give us some predictions here.
All right, well, I think that obviously you're going to look at the guys like Suwon, Seoul, like that.
Yes.
But obviously, so far away, I
Ulsan.
Sound like a... Ulsan's going to take it all again this year.
Yeah, Ian Pearce is all about the Ulsan. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, he's queer like Ulsan, so that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think Ulsan are a joke, and they don't deserve to be anywhere near it. For me, Suwon are going to win the league.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not me being a homer, but it is pretty much me being a homer.
Yeah, you're as horribly biased as I am, and that's what I love about you.
Can you name a year when you didn't say Suwon was going to win the league?
Yeah,
the year that I've got one.
Last year when he said fucking Gwangju or Gangwon? Gangwon. You said Gangwon going to win the league.
No, I was
you're
looking forward to this year.
Anyway, James, just give us your final thoughts about
man.
The podcast in general,
yeah,
and a farewell message.
Yeah, say goodbye to the loyal listeners.
All right, love you guys. Thinking about you always here in Texas, and as always, I'm gonna go to bed thinking about you.
Thanks, James. As I always say, like
without you,
there'd be no podcast. So. Definitely thank you. As you know, I was only a third player in the whole thing, so we do.
Yeah,
say
but
thank...
you got it together. You were the glue. You're the glue.
Attaboy. But thank you so much for getting us up and running and for your continued support. It's a very rare soul who'll get up early in the morning in Texas and podcast with a couple of odd folks here in Suwon. So thanks a lot, James.
Means a lot. All right, love you guys. Talk to you later.
Love you, mate. Take
Bye,
care.
Bye, James.
I must say, by the way, mate, it's nice, isn't it, having all these little, you know, messages from our loyal, you know, correspondents.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah, thanks very much. We appreciate that.
Very much.
Now, this week, because, you know, really, we're not going to be here next week to talk about the K-League, we figure we might as well put ourselves out there a bit and give out league predictions for what's going to happen at the end of the year.
Absolutely.
Big stuff, mate. This early on. Tell you what, it feels pretty risky.
We haven't discussed this, so we don't know each other's answers, which just adds to the tension.
Nah, so whatever you say, I'll just say, yeah, I agree.
I like that.
Who's going to win the K-League?
That's a really tough one to start off with, but I'm going to go at that. I'm going to say Ulsan are going to win the league.
Really?
You didn't think that, did you? I mean, not just to the top of the league.
I always thought you were a sober, sort of straight fella.
They're not conceding a lot.
Didn't realise you were off your head.
They're not being that scoring recently, but they've got the firepower there. And if Maranhão, the Brazilian, keeps scoring the goals he's been doing, I think they've got a real, real shot at winning the thing this year.
Yeah, that's the answer, isn't it? I think, and I'm saying this purely for parochial reasons.
Yep.
Suwon. Hey, there he is. I think that they're honestly. I think they've recruited well with our boy Everton, and obviously Radončići and Steve Owe, they're a good pairing up front, and Eddie Bosnar down back. He sort of seems to cement a decent, you know, sort of defensive partnership. I think that the game against Dijon might wake them up a bit. That they've been a bit too complacent, and hopefully they'll go on and win it. But I mean, realistically, after 11 games, it's kind of dangerous
to
say anyone's going to
win. It's good that there's 3, 4, maybe even 5 teams you could legitimately say might win the league. I mean, you're looking at Jeju, Seoul, Jeonbuk, Pohang, Songnam a little bit further back, but though they all, you get the feeling that
You wouldn't want to rule out anyone. Ulsan, Suwon.
It's a great, absolutely great thing.
What do you say? Ulsan, Suwon, Jeju, Seoul, Busan, Jeonbuk.
And when you think
not Daegu, they could all win it, couldn't they?
When you think 30 games in, we're going to split off and we're going to have 14 final games, and it's going to be Jeonbuk, Busan, Jeonbuk, Jeju every week, Suwon, FC Seoul, Ulsan every week.
And the thing is, you don't know, there are teams like Songnam who have shown a bit of form but had poor form early on, and you don't know what they're going to do later on.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be coming from behind, so to speak. Yeah, but they're going to be playing the big guns every week, and then we're going to see, are they actually a decent team or not? And we're not gonna have a random K League winner. We're gonna have the best team is gonna win the K League.
So for us to say after 11 games who's gonna win, it's facetious in a way. It's kind of
exciting.
But yeah, it's, I mean, stuff it.
Okay, so my question to you then, Matt. So we've got this top 8 split. I want you to tell me a team that's gonna surprise people by making that top 8.
Oh yeah.
We've got Busan and Daegu in the top 8 at the moment. Are they gonna stay there? Who's gonna stay there?
No, mate. No. You want a surprise, don't you?
Yeah.
Guangzhou.
They've fallen away.
Yeah, I love he just laughed at me.
Fallen away.
Guangzhou's like, yeah, they have, but they got the greatest player in Korea and the world.
Oh, good point, Jao Paulo.
Yeah. And if Jao Paulo can't lift them up again, like, obviously, Jao Paulo, it's a one-man team, Guangzhou, you know, in a way, because the other players can't name any of them, so it's only him. So, realistically, you'd expect that he's gotten a bit tired, so he's taking a bit of what we like to call a siesta. And he's going to lift them back up again in a minute, isn't he? That's not racial.
Hope so.
He's going to lift them back up again, isn't he?
Can you go a little bit more left field?
Don't cry, mate. It's all right.
I'm going to go a bit more left field. And I don't really think it's happening. This is more hope than expectation.
Yes.
Gangwon.
Daejeon?
Gangwon.
What?
Could you imagine if Gangwon went from being, you know, the worst team in the history of Korean football to the top 8?
Could I imagine
It's not outside the realms of possibility.
Could I imagine it?
They've lost 4 out of 5, but
no.
They've had a decent start to the season. And it's only recently they've been falling away. And they're still... apart from this week when they lost abysmally home to the military side, maybe they could. And imagine, that'd be brilliant. That'd be a really good story for them.
Not for the first time, I'm going to say, you remind me of my girlfriend, Ian. Because she sees me, and I'm her Gangwon. She imagines one day I might be thin and handsome, but I won't be. And Gangwon, they'll never get anywhere.
You're orange and isolated.
Yeah, much like Gangwon. They're not going anywhere, mate. Come on. Yeah?
Like I said, hope.
I know, it's a beautiful dream. You know, and no matter how much grass you feed it, and how much green food you make it eat, it's never going to be thin.
All right, then. So, the murky water of relegation. Don't like to say it. Who's going down?
Gyeongnam.
Wow.
And I just said that to break your heart, James had dropped, because I'm worried you're going to come over the top of me and beat me in that fantasy football league. So, Gyeongnam are going down.
I'm not sure.
Bang.
There are 3 or 4... What would happen if Sangju came bottom of the league? Would the team that comes second bottom then...
Yeah, that's right. That's the rule, isn't it?
That'd be funny. I don't know. I think Daejeon are going to go down. I don't like to say it. They've had an incredible victory this week. Fair play to them. But I think there's enough implosions that could very easily happen at that football club that they could be cut adrift.
I'm gonna ask you a question, though.
Oh?
If they can beat Suwon with 10 men... who can't they beat?
Well, they couldn't beat Songnam.
I was going to say that. So, all right, well...
or the 10 other teams they played.
All right,
9,
well,
sorry.
I'll ask you another question then.
Yeah?
Maybe they could win a game, question mark.
That'd
they could.
There you go. They might only need one more win to get above Incheon.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they don't go down, because they're a proper football team. They've got a lovely stadium. They've got good fans.
Incheon have a lovely stadium.
Yeah, but they're a rubbish football team.
For all the whole boys.
Meet them. Well, they'll be meeting behind closed doors, but that's another news story that we forgot to mention.
Speaking of meat.
Yeah, so that's that.
Hello, this is Charlie Robinson, the National League correspondent. Goodbye to you all. Thanks for all the memories. It's been great. And remember, the National League is where it's at.
All right, mate. We're reaching the end of the pod. Now, I must say that, you know, I didn't mean to get into the podcasting business with you. If you remember correctly, I was called in about week 3. You boys were talking about it, and I said, oh, well, I'll come on as a special guest every now and again and have a chat, because I don't know much about anything.
Well, what I would say is just as well you did, because James bloody well let us down, didn't he?
Who?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tell us, who was our special guest this evening?
James Maas.
And where is James Maas?
He's live on Skype from America, except for the fact that he...
isn't.
Yeah, what a twat. But, no, if you remember correctly, I was only on... like, I think it was week 3, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I said,
like,
come on and, yeah, just add a bit of colour. And, you know, James, obviously, his knowledge of Korea was quite good. And, you know, your knowledge of football and Korean football is very good. And my knowledge of football is okay, but Korean football, kind of so-so. So we thought together we'd make a beautiful team.
Dream team.
But what happened? James stopped coming along. So it was just you and me. So it kind of worked out in the end, obviously. I mean, you know.
It has worked out for quite a long time.
As much as it could. But it's been good, hasn't it?
It's been good. Really good.
I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the pod.
It'd be very sad to go, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it's my fault, really, at this stage, isn't it? Although producer Ian's leaving not too far after me.
And I'm leaving, 10 days after that?
Yeah, so it's kind of a certain synchronicity to it. But, you know, I must say that the podcast, for me, it's been an enjoyable sort of way to make me pay more attention to the K-League than I had, certainly for, you know, a little bit before it, so... thank you.
Yeah, so yeah, thanks a lot for anyone who's listened
through
the couple of years we've been doing this. We've had an absolutely fantastic time doing it. We hope you've had as much fun as we have, and if you have, then it's great stuff.
And huge thanks to our correspondents, because without you, there's you know, very little podcast. Like, I think most people know that the best weeks are when we have 3 people sort of get on. We get the third voice and a different opinion. And, you know, so certainly thank you, Charlie and...
James.
John. A Gangwon correspondent.
Of course, Matt down in Changwon as well. King Kenny. Lee.
King Kenny.
And Liam. Liam with his sob tales of Deja.
Yeah. Well, not anymore, mate. Now they're back on top.
No, and take he's that, making Suwon. Sure we know it. Good
stuff. Blue twat. But good on you. Good on you all. And without you, the pod would have been utter nonsense.
Also, massive thank you to producer Ian, because he sits there every week whilst we drone on about the vagaries of Korean football.
And we moderately abuse his toilet. So thank you, producer Ian.
Yeah, he's the one who stitches it together. And imagine how bad it would sound without producer Ian.
We complain about the times we finish often because of our rambling, repeated nonsense. But you have to remember, after we finish, he's still here stitching it all together.
He listens to it again.
Yeah. He listens to this crap twice. So, producer Ian, huge thank you to you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ian.
No worries. You know, thanks a lot to you too, Matt.
Your Korean football knowledge, I think, is unparalleled. And certainly, you know, you might not know this, listener, but every week we meet up early before the pod, and I watch the goals on YouTube, and that's the first time I've seen them. But Ian's already got notes. He's already got notes of the scores and who scored when and how they scored. And when we watch the goals, I feel like it's the 5th or 6th time he's watched them. So certainly, thank you, Ian, for the work. You've put in a lot more work than anyone, really.
Well, thanks for saying that. But of course, you know, if we're in this mutual appreciation society, then, you know, you come along every week. And as you said before, you weren't expecting to. So I really appreciate that you've come along and you've shown the enthusiasm, you've shown the commitment. And I think that's a great thing.
Fact is, I'm a lonely guy with nothing better to do.
That makes 3 of us.
Much like our correspondents.
That makes about 10 of us.
Now that we've offended everyone.
Yes, offending everyone.
No, thank you very much, and we've enjoyed it, and it's been great, hasn't it?
Yeah. So it's time to say goodbye.
Oh, and thank you also to Korea.net for somehow finding this to be a great way to promote Korea and Korean culture. So anyway, mate, we should say, you know, thanks to James for the initial idea. You know, no thanks for being so busy and never actually getting on the pod after that. Thanks to our dear listeners. We really do appreciate your support. We're nothing without you.
Yeah,
nothing.
All the correspondents, as mentioned.
Ah, yeah, for sure. And each other.
Thanks.
Producer Ian.
No, no, nothing.
He's already had his hockey hour, so he's done. But more importantly, we should say
goodbye.
Good night, Australia. It's a tear, mate. Tell you what, mate. Sad times, eh? Eh? Gonna miss you all. You reckon?
We're gonna go now. It's really been our pleasure potting for you all.
That's true.
Cause this has been the Outside View. We hope we've entertained a few. And if we're not, then you are in luck. It's time to say goodbye. Thank you. Outside View.
The outside view.
The outside view.